Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. As we began this current introduction to the lives of God and Abraham, I told you last Tuesday that we would deal with two major points of emphasis and encouragement. The first was to uncover the Hebrew roots of being Christian. We finished with that last time, looking to our father, Abraham. The second is to wrestle with how valuable and important the Old Testament Bible is to us. Let's take this up now. And again, I want to base my insights on the clearly written and written for the layperson, not the academic or theologian, the clearly and insightfully written book, Our Father Abraham, Jewish Roots of the Christian Faith by my professor at Gordon College, Marvin R. Wilson. In this book, he takes an entire lengthy chapter, it is chapter 8, and he deals with how crucial the Old Testament is to us. The title of the chapter is The Old Testament, Hebraic Foundation of the Church. In this penetrating chapter, he begins by identifying a common problem for many of today's Christians. This may not even be something we perceive as a problem, but it really is. And what is that? The answer is that many of today's Christians do not invest much time reading, studying, understanding, and applying what is labeled the Old Testament. Even the title is terribly misleading and should be dropped. Think of it. What does old signal? It strongly implies that which is irrelevant, boring, and that which is in the past. And then we contrast that with the New Testament. New implies relevant, fresh, exciting, and that which is present leading us into the future. We have developed this poor tendency to imagine the two testaments as very different from one another, almost like two different Bibles. There is not continuity, but discontinuity. And when we do this, I hate to say it, but when we do this, we rob God as the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the writer to the Hebrews put it. If we separate the supposedly old from the new, do we end up with two different gods? In the Old Testament, God is a God of hate, anger, punishment, and justice, we think. But in the New Testament, God is a God of love, peace, acceptance, forgiveness, as well as just an all-round nicer deity. In the Old Testament, he commanded bashing babies against rocks. But in the New Testament, he commanded loving and caring for one another. You see, we have a discontinuity between the testaments, and we wind up with a discontinuity in God. And friends, this is very problematic indeed, because God is the same in both Genesis through Malachi, as he is in Matthew through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is unchanging. He is immutable. And yet, because many believers do not take the Old Testament as seriously as the New Testament, they fall into a major error concerning the very nature of God. Plus, the Old Testament is packed with hundreds of characters and place names, and it is set in a time and speaks a language that seems so foreign to us. How are we supposed to keep up? It's like reading Dostoevsky over James Patterson. One has so many characters with hard-to-pronounce names that you need to make a chart and fill it in as you read. All those names of places in Russia and those words he uses. while the other has few, easy-to-remember characters that all you need when you read him is a beach and half a brain. The books are set in our time and with our language. So which do most people choose? I shudder as I hear you answer. It's Patterson over Dostoevsky. I am afraid. Likewise, for many Christians, it is the New Testament over the Old Testament. My shudder is getting worse. I hate that we set aside one in full favor of the other. Marv Wilson has this great analogy. He says when many so-called Bible-believing Christians do read the Old Testament, they rely on a loose-leaf edition. A loose-leaf edition. They select a few portions of it. You remember the loose-leaf notebooks, don't you? They are still around. We used to use them in school. They have the two or three hole punch and the snap that releases the binding and allows us to take out pages without tearing at the binding itself or the page. That is such an effective analogy because it is true. Maybe you read the Old Testament this way. The Psalms stay in, but Leviticus has got to go. And yet, nearly 80% of the Bible is the Old Testament. Nearly 80%. 80. There are 1,189 chapters in the whole Bible, 929 of which are in the Old Testament. The New Testament has only 260 chapters. So if we focus on the New to the exclusion of the Old, then we can hardly claim to be Bible-believing Christians, can we? The reality is that the Old and New Testaments go together as two parts to one book. What the Old Testament begins, the New Testament brings to a tremendous climax and ending. If we dig in only beginning at Matthew and the other Gospels, we will have missed all that comes before, and then we cannot make adequate sense of what we are reading. So many times we are reading out of context. In fact, Matthew is written for the Jews, for the Hebrews. Matthew must be read in tandem with the Hebrew Bible, such as, for example, understanding how Christ fulfills prophecy. And I am going to mention something similar to this as we proceed. Right now, my mind is set on the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 and 16. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writes, "From childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." What are the sacred writings? These are our Old Testament. Greek-speaking Jews spoke of the sacred writings as what is for us, once the entire Bible is compiled, the Old Testament. He says they give Timothy wisdom that leads to salvation by faith in Christ. And then in verse 16, Paul speaks pure truth again, saying, "All Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness." 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Notice the emphasis on all. All Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial. All 66 books. We dare not leave any one of them unread. Admittedly, we may require more help, more teaching, instruction, and guidance to understand Genesis through Malachi. We may struggle with it more than we do Matthew through Revelation. Again, I hate to say this, but certainly most pastors, preachers, and teachers in our churches spend far more time in the New than in the so-called Old. Churches often fail to give Christians the full counsel of God in all of Scripture, and that needs to be corrected. And so, what should we call the Old Testament? What could we rename it, at least for ourselves? How about this? The Hebrew Bible, or the Hebrew Scriptures. And if you are caught up on the word Testament, what about the First Testament? Rename the New Testament the Second Testament. This may be jarring for you, but if you will stick with us as we now turn to some practical things we can do to overcome an aversion to the Old Testament, I think all of this will make sense and be an encouragement to you to reconsider how we refer to the first part of our Bibles. Helpfully, Marv Wilson lays out 7 guidelines for Christians to follow as we attempt to restore the first part of our Bible to the proper place this needs to have in our lives. I am not going to give you all 7, nor am I merely going to sit here and quote him or read to you his chapter. But leaning on the wisdom of God, I want to take some of what he says and repackage it for you. But please keep in mind the source of my instruction is the book, Our Father Abraham. It is very important to me to give credit where credit is definitely due. And the first thing we want to take note of is how Jesus and the people of the New Testament, such as the apostles, used the Hebrew Scriptures. What was their attitude towards it? I remind you that they did not have the Bible as we have it. In fact, our completed New Testament was not even available until many years after the death and resurrection of Christ. They knew no other Bible but the Hebrew Bible. As we read our Old Testament, we must remember this was Jesus' scripture. This was his primary source. This is what was read, memorized, and applied by the Lord and his early disciples. Why should you love the Hebrew Scriptures? Here's why. Jesus did. Love what he loves. Well, we have had a good start, and we will continue with this tomorrow, right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.